This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Jonah, we labeled as the most reluctant prophet because Jonah was commissioned by God to bring a message to his enemies, the Ninevites. The Ninevites were the capital, and Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, and the Assyrian Empire was a chief threat to Israel. In fact, during Jonah's ministry, Hosea, the other minor prophet in the Old Testament, was also proclaiming his message, and Hosea was saying that Assyria was going to come and take captive the Israelites because of their disobedience. So the people knew that Assyria was a threat. And a day came when God met Jonah and told Jonah, "Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh." So God said, "Go," and Jonah said, "No." He fled. He was called to go 500 miles to the northeast, and he went attempting to go 2,500 miles in the opposite direction to a town on the other side of the Mediterranean, on the other side of Spain, called Tarshish. And he thought he could flee from the presence of the Lord, but we learned that if God has saved you and you are his child, you cannot run from him. You are like David. You say, "Where can I go from your presence? If I go to the farthest seas, you are there. If I hide in the caves, you are there." We cannot flee from our Heavenly Father. He has committed himself to working in our lives. And so Jonah realized that God's not going to let him get away that easy, so he boarded a ship down in the port of Joppa, and he went down into the bottom of the ship and fell asleep. Well, God sent this massive storm to the point where the ship was about to be broken up and sink in the Mediterranean. At that point, the sailors came and they woke up Jonah and they said, "Jonah, what is going on? Why is this happening? Call upon your God." And he said, "This is because of me. This is because of me." And we learned that sometimes God sends storms into our lives to wake us up. Amen. Sometimes we need a wake-up call, and God, who's committed himself to us, may use a storm in our lives to do just that. And so Jonah told the sailors, "The only way that this is going to resolve for your safety is if you take me and throw me into the Mediterranean." And so they, regrettingly, took Jonah, threw him into the Mediterranean, and the moment Jonah hit the surface of the water, the storm stopped. It became calm. And the people realized this is from Yahweh, the one true God over the sea and the dry land, and they made vows to him. You see, they became believers in Yahweh as a result of his work in Jonah's life. And so then we followed Jonah down into the Mediterranean, and he sank down, and he sank down, and he sank down, and he thought he was going to die. He said he felt his spirit failing within him. His nephesh, his soul, was starting to faint, was starting to die away. And just at that moment, he remembered the covenant that Yahweh made with his people. He remembered the promises of God's faithfulness to his people. And he says, "I prayed toward your holy temple. I called on your name." And he said, "Because salvation is of the Lord." And when he prayed, God commanded a massive sea creature to come and swallow up Jonah. And there Jonah was in the belly of that fish for 3 days and three nights. Oh, how symbolic of that. Amen. Wasn't it our Lord Jesus who was in the heart of the tomb 3 days and three nights? And in that moment, he remembered that God is the faithful God. He prayed to the Lord in that time. And then God commanded the fish after the 3 days and three nights to vomit Jonah up on dry land. And Jonah was vomited back up, and God said to Jonah, "Go to Nineveh." This time, God said, "Go," and Jonah said, "Yes, Lord," and went. He was given a second chance. And we learned in chapter 3 that our God is a God of second chances. Amen. Our God is able to grant us the grace to get back on our feet and continue to do His will. And so Jonah went to Nineveh, a great massive city, and he went throughout the city, and Jonah started proclaiming, 40 days, Nineveh will be overturned. They were a wicked city. They were a wicked people. They used to tear the skin off of their enemies. They were just brutal. Brutal. I won't go into more details, but you get the idea. And so Jonah came and he said, 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. It would be like taking the dirt and digging underneath and just lopping it over. It's dead. 40 days. And when the king heard that, and when the people heard that, the Bible says that they repented. They turned from their sin. They put on sackcloth and ashes, which was an ancient way of saying, "I'm humbling myself." And they said, "Who knows, maybe God will have mercy on us." And it just so happens He did. One of the most beautiful verses in the Old Testament, verse 10 of chapter 3, "Then God saw their works, that they turned from the evil way, and God relented from the disaster that He had said He would bring upon them. And He did not do it." Amen. If you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, the wrath of God that is promised for all unbelievers, the judgment of God that will come upon all His enemies, will not come upon you. Because it fell upon Jesus instead of you, and you have put your faith in Jesus, it won't come upon you. Praise God for His mercy. And now we pick it up in chapter 4. Now, brethren, did you notice something? Up to this point, we don't know why Jonah fled. Many of you know. You read ahead. I understand. But up to this point, we don't know why Jonah fled from God. Now, if you didn't know what chapter 4 was, what would you think the reason is? I wonder. Well, you might think, well, Jonah fled because he didn't want to get killed. I mean, Nineveh was a wicked city. If Jonah stepped in that city and said, 40 days and you're going to be judged, he being an Israelite, I'm sure they would have taken him captive and they would have thrown him in jail and they would have taken his skin off of his bones. Who wants that? Or maybe Jonah felt like embarrassed because he doesn't want to be a prophet to the pagans. He just wants to be a prophet to the people of Israel. If you remember, back in 2 Kings, Jonah was given a prophecy that Israel was going to receive more land. That's a very positive message. A lot of preachers out there don't mind giving positive messages of blessings, of abundance, of material blessings in your life. That's easy to preach. That's easy to listen to. But here Jonah's given a message of doom, and not just for his people, for pagan people. Why should he go to them? We don't know up to this point. And if you think of the fact that Jonah is under inspiration of God writing this down, you wonder, what motive does he have? Up to this point, imagine you were a prophet of God. And imagine you were sent as a missionary to an unreached people group. And you delivered, you showed up, you stepped on their soil, you delivered to them a message of God's coming judgment. And in a giant wave of God's movement, the entire city repented of their sin. The entire city humbled themselves. The entire city turned to believe in God. What would you think? Wow, God sent a revival. He used me. Look at all these people who are turning to God. You would be elated. It'd be quite a testimony you can bring back to your brothers and sisters in Israel. God used me to turn the whole Assyrian capital to Yahweh. That's what you would feel, right? Verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. Jonah saw that his word of judgment was bringing revival, and Jonah was unhappy. He was more than unhappy. In fact, that word for angry literally means he became hot-headed. He started to burn with anger. The word involves the burning sensation of anger. That's odd. So why is Jonah so upset? Well, Jonah's honest with us. He tells us why. And in verse 2, Jonah prays to the Lord and says, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." The reason why Jonah is mad at God is because God is merciful. The reason why Jonah is hot-headed is because Jonah knew the day God called him to go to Nineveh, he knew that if the Ninevites repented, God was going to show them mercy and not bring judgment upon them. And Jonah wanted them to be judged. Jonah wanted the wrath of God to be poured upon them. Jonah wanted Nineveh to be like Sodom and Gomorrah when God rained down fire and brimstone upon that wicked city. Jonah wanted that done to Nineveh. And so Jonah, I'm assuming, thought that if he does not tell them the message of judgment, they will not repent of their sin. And if they don't repent of their sin, God is going to heap judgment upon them. So he fled to Tarshish. And God said, not so fast. And so God showed Jonah mercy when he disobeyed and sinned against the holy God. And God went to Jonah and woke him up from his slumber and hurled him into the sea. And Jonah cried out for mercy, and God showed him mercy and sent him a fish and spit Jonah back up on the land. And God showed Jonah mercy by allowing him to be recommissioned to be a missionary to the Ninevites. And God showed him mercy in that his message was successful in bringing many to repentance. And God showed Jonah mercy, and God showed Jonah mercy, and God showed Jonah mercy. But the day when God showed the Ninevites mercy, oh no. Verse 3, "Therefore, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Jonah was so upset, he wanted to die. He said, "Take my life. I'm done. I am done." He did not take his life into his own hands. He said, "God, you take my life." And the Lord showed Jonah mercy and said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be so hot-headed? Is it right for you to be so angry?" Jonah's reply? Crickets. So Jonah went out of the city, verse 5, on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter, in Hebrew a sukkah. This would have been probably a structure of sticks with branches on top, leafy branches on top to be some sort of a shade, and he sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. Maybe God would consider his plight and turn from his mercy and show judgment to the city of Nineveh. But God showed mercy to Jonah. And in verse 6, the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So this plant is probably some sort of a gourd, a viney plant that when the Bible says here in my translation, prepared, it's more along the lines of appointed. That is, God had all these plants he could choose from and he appointed this one. He said, you go and grow. And so this plant grew over the shelter that Jonah had made, providing significant shelter from the beating sun. You see, Jonah went to the east side of the city because in that area there were mighty winds from the Arabian desert from the west that would be hot and they'd come and hit the city. So Jonah thought, if I go on the east side, I'll be protected from the winds. But the sun was beating down on him. And so God had this plant come up and grow. And it says in verse 6, Jonah was very grateful for the plant. Literally, Jonah was rejoicing with great joy. Jonah was very uncomfortable out in the sun. Therefore, Jonah was very unhappy. Therefore, God showed Jonah mercy and allowed a plant to grow over his head. And Jonah was very happy for the good comfort that God brought him. And then the next day came, and God showed mercy to Jonah by wanting to teach him a lesson. And so God appointed a worm to come, and the worm came and nipped the base of this plant that had grown over the shelter, and it withered. In verse 8, when the sun arose, that God appointed a vehement east wind. Wait a minute, the wind comes from the west. God appointed an east wind to come that was scorching hot, likely blew over Jonah's shelter, and then the hot sun was beating down upon him, and now Jonah's miserable. And so Jonah said in verse 8, it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah wished death upon himself again. And finally, God asked him a second time in verse 9, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And Jonah, being a mature man of God, said, yes, it is right for me to be angry even to death. But the Lord said to him, Jonah, Jonah, listen now. You have had pity on a plant which you did not labor for, which you did not plant, which grew in a night and perished in a night. And you were upset when that plant died. Jonah, you see that city over there? That city has more than 120,000 people who haven't heard the law you know. They can't discern between their right hand and their left hand. They don't know right and wrong. They're wicked people, but you know something? I'm the one who created them. The king who's in that city, I know that king. His children, I know them. I created each one of them. The memories that they share from their childhood, I know what those memories are. The acts of violence that they have committed, I'm angry because of them, but I know them. You know the cattle that eat the grass in that city? I know them too. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills, Jonah. Each one of those cows I created and I know personally. You may have been concerned about that plant that died in the night, but I'm concerned about 120 people that I created in my image in that city. And that's the end of the story. That's how the story ends. That's when God, inspiring Jonah, Jonah puts down his pen. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. And we have some lessons to learn from Jonah's life. Amen. What are some things we can learn from what Jonah experienced? Well, the first thing that stands out to us is that, you know something? It is better, listen now, it is better to run to God with our feelings than run from Him. It is better to run to God with our genuine feelings than to run from Him. You see, in chapter 1, Jonah's feelings of anger came over him and he thought it'd be better to run from God. How did that turn out? Not good. And we learn here in chapter 4, it was better for Jonah to take his frustrations and bring them to God and say to his face, "I'm angry with you." That was better. Because God could respond and work in his heart. And what we learn from this is it is better for us to run to God with our feelings, to be honest with our Heavenly Father, than to run from Him. Sometimes people, when they go under great difficulty or they're frustrated because things are not going the way they thought, they decide, "I'm mad at God, I'm going to run from you." And that never goes out well. It is better to take the genuine feelings, not sugarcoat them, not acting pious, but to get on your knees before God and say, "God, I'm mad at you." That's better. God is okay with that because He can work with that. Sometimes it's better to be open and honest and ready for God's response with Him than to bottle it up and hightail it the other way. I know for myself, in my own personality, when I get angry, I tend not to lash out in the moment. I tend to internalize it and walk away. And I know in my own life that can be very harmful if it just gets pent up and pent up and pent up and then it suddenly bursts like a dam. I think somebody here can experience that or can relate to that. I had an experience of anger recently when I had called a funeral home that was recommended to me for my father's recent passing out in Rhode Island. And I was talking to the funeral director, and the moment I got on the phone, the funeral director was behaving rather rudely to me and acting like I should have all my ducks in a row before I call him. And I'm on the phone thinking, I don't even know what ducks came out of my nest. I can't get them in a row. Like, I need help here. And so the frustration was penting, was building up. And it got to the point where I said something, and I never have used this phrase before. And like I said, I'm not the type to immediately lash out in any way. You know, I'm kind of more like, "I'll use you in a sermon." And so I got pent up and I said this to him. I've never used this phrase before. If you have young ones, please cover their ears. I said to him on the phone, I said, "With all due respect, sir." I know. But if you know me, you know that's a lot. That is a lot to reach that point. But it was better for me to just tell this man how I really felt about how I was being handled. Right? Than to internalize it and later bring him up in a sermon. I'm pointing to myself here, okay? He's fine. He's okay. We went with a different place, so it's fine. So, it's better to just be open with God. Get on your knees and tell God how you feel. Are you mad at Him? Tell Him. Do you think He should have done something in your life differently? Tell Him. Have you read the book of Psalms? Some of the authors of Psalms are really telling God how they feel, and they say, "You know, I feel like you're rubbing my face in the gravel," it says in one point. in the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah is saying, you've put my face in the gravel and you're making me eat rocks. Because what God can do in that moment is show you, teach you, help you work through that situation with Him as He did to Jonah. He's patient. He's kind. Never run from God. You can't escape Him. He's committed Himself to you in Christ Jesus. Run to Him! Amen? Be honest. I learned that from Jonah. Another thing we learned from Jonah. God has appointed every circumstance for our growth. God has appointed every circumstance from our growth. From the beginning, God was overseeing every one of Jonah's circumstances. When Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord, in verse 4, the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. When the people threw Jonah into the water, it says in verse 17 that the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. When Jonah went out of the city, it says the Lord appointed a plant to grow over the shelter. And then God appointed a worm to eat the plant. And then God appointed an east wind to come and blow the shelter over, because He wanted to have a moment with Jonah. And so what this teaches us is that every little circumstance that you and I go through, whether the big mighty storms or the little itty bitty worms, God is using to teach us something. God is using to grow us. God is using to nurture our relationship with Him. There is not one breeze that passes by your face without an intent from God to grow you, an intent from God to speak to you, an intent from your Heavenly Father to guide you. Every snowflake that falls on your driveway is appointed by God. He has intentions with everything He permits in your life, as He did with Jonah. God's appointments are to work in your heart, grow in your heart. You know, sometimes we have things in our hearts that we don't know are there. I doubt Jonah knew that the animosity he had towards people made in God's image was there. And so Jonah had to reveal that and teach him and guide him. There are things in your heart, there are things in my heart that we don't know are there. I just heard recently of in Las Vegas. In Las Vegas, there are tunnel systems under the city in case there's ever flooding, so that the water has a place to go and it doesn't destroy what's above. But sometimes you don't wish harm upon others. Remember Jonah? And these tunnel systems, apparently there are miles of them. And in these tunnel systems, about 1,500 people live, homeless people, in these tunnels. Some of them are born in the dark. The only light they ever see is a flashlight. And they live there. Some of them have never seen the sun. It's amazing. They're called mole people. They're homeless people under Las Vegas. And when I thought of that, I thought, you know, that's like my heart. My heart has things inside. Now, I'm not saying that all the tunnel people are evil. I'm just using a parallel here. That there are dwellers in our hearts that we don't see, we don't know are there. We're up top enjoying the good old life that we have here, but down underneath, there are things that are there that God has to deal with and shine His light in. Amen? And so He uses every circumstance to do that. The world does not revolve around us, but your world is God's work in your life to conform you into the image of Christ. Amen? So whenever you're going through a circumstance, ask yourself, what is God trying to teach me? What is God trying to show me in this? Finally, this is the final thing that we see in Jonah here. So far we've seen it is better to run to God with our feelings than run from Him. We've seen that God has appointed every circumstance for our growth. Finally, God's mercy goes beyond ourselves. God's mercy goes beyond ourselves. Jonah was very glad for the mercy of God when he was in the belly of a fish. Amen? But when the mercy of God went for someone that Jonah did not like, Jonah had a problem with that. And sometimes we do get the feeling that God is there to serve me. That God is there to serve my life. That I exist for God to work and bring mercy and salvation and gladness, and people are okay with gathering with other people who think likewise, and we meet in a church and we worship Him, we praise Him, we're glad for Him, we're glad for His mercy in our lives. Amen. But God's mercy goes beyond this. Me. Us. American church. God does not want any to perish. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Psalm 35 verses 13 to 15 says, "The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of His dwelling, He looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works." God has a longing in heart for those in rebellion against Him. How is our heart? God's going to bring judgment. Remember, Jonah said 40 days and Nineveh will be overturned. God intended to judge them if they did not turn from their wicked ways. But mercy triumphs over judgment. They repented. They turned from their wicked ways, and God extended mercy to them. You see, it's not like, and you know, you might hear somebody give an interpretation that says, well, you know, we should not be racist, and we should not be, and we shouldn't be, but let's think of the Democrats, okay? When we think of the Democrats, you know, we should think, you know, God loves them, and so that's okay. We shouldn't be like Jonah and want their judgment. Well, if the Bible says that he who does not have the Son does not have life, and the wrath of God abides on him. So if there's any human being, whatever label that they have, whatever letters, whatever, if there's any human being who has not the Son, the wrath of God abides on them. But God is not willing that any should perish. And so there should be a longing and a pity in our heart that those who don't know Jesus should turn from their wicked ways and receive Jesus. And that influences how we interact with them. Jonah didn't want to give them the message. Jonah wanted to see them perish in hell. What is your heart to your neighbor who doesn't know Jesus? What is your heart to the people you see on television who don't know Jesus? You want evil to stop? You want justice to be served? But do you have a place in your heart, a longing that says, I want you to turn from this and be saved? Because the Bible says that's how God feels. He says, should I not pity 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left and much livestock? This is a reality check for us all to see, what is our heart toward unbelievers? And when God reveals in our hearts that we need more compassion, more longing to see them saved, it likely will motivate us to bring that message to them. If they reject it, that's between them and God. But if we're not willing to bring the message of salvation to the one in our neighborhood that we know we're the only one in a circle that can bring the message, and God is leading us to bring the message to them, and we run to Tarshish, there's a problem. I'm going to tie this to Christmas. The Bible says, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. This Christmas season, remember that Jesus came to bring peace on earth, goodwill toward all men, not just the Israelites, all men, the Gentiles, the Jews, everyone. Peace on earth, goodwill toward them, if they receive Him as their light of the world to dispel the darkness. So here today, I encourage you and ask you, do not be like Jonah. Do not flee from the presence of the Lord. Do not skirt away from your commission, but embrace God's will for your life. Embrace God's commission for you and receive His power to go and bring the message to your Nineveh next door. Amen? Because He showed mercy to you in the belly of a fish. Amen? He's got more mercy than that. Praise Him for that. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank You for this encouragement. I pray that You would encourage all of us to seek Your face about Your will in our lives. For those who are lost, those who don't know You, those who are perishing without You, Lord, help us to be the messengers of truth to them. Lord, thank You that Jonah obeyed You and wrote this down and was honest. And how many of his peers read these words and thought of him afterwards? But we all have a little Jonah in us, don't we? I pray, Father, that You would work in our hearts and our circumstances just like You worked in Jonah's. Thank You, Father God, that You have committed Yourselves to us. May we follow You all our days. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.